Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to another Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I hope you are enjoying the series. It's going quite well. This one has got Kerry Godleman, who is in the new Christopher Guest film, and loads of other stuff. You'll love her. If you enjoy these, you can come and see me on tour doing some proper stand-up that I've written and learned and rehearsed rather than just made up on the spot. Go to richardherring.com/the_best/tour, and you can see all the tour dates. It's called The Best. It's 90 minutes of my best material, so it's a good opportunity to try me out as a stand-up. And if you don't like it, then, you know, we can pretty much agree that you never have to come and see me again. Also, my DVD of my last tour, Happy Now, will be out. Go to www.gofasterstripe.com and you can buy a copy of that. But let's sit back and relax and enjoy Richard Herring's podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who just 2 days ago had diarrhoea and then vomited on his diarrhoea and then had diarrhoea on his vomit and then vomited on that diarrhoea. It's Richard Herring! It's all true. I get knocked down, but I get up again. They can't stop me. Food poisoning cannot destroy me. I will just carry on and doing podcasts till I die. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I met Vanilla Ice the other day. I don't know if you know, remember him. He calls it Rahalastapa, Rahalastapa, baby. So it's quite cool. There's some cool kids in. As I was saying just before we started, we recorded this the day after I recorded the second episode of As It Occurs to Me. So I've really written all the topical jokes I can muster, and they're all gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you, first of all, what I've got to do is I have to... There's someone called Owen Davis who contributed to the Kickstarter that paid for this videoing, so thank you for him, but he paid for me to insult him. It's hard to... Owen Davis, there's not much to know about him, but I'm guessing this is a pretty accurate impression of Owen Davis. Oh, hello!
this Welsh, by the way. This I am, but the boy, yo, I am Owen Davy. Where's my seaweed? I want to eat some seaweed. That's why he goes. He's a fucking idiot, basically, is what I'm saying. And I'd also like to welcome Bettina Saunders, who was... So there she is, just over there. Hello, Bettina. I don't think I'll pick you up on the video, partly because I'm not very good at... It's definitely playing... Yeah, I mean, there's nothing... Hello, Bettina. She has paid to be the VIP for this week's episode. So she might, if she wishes, get to ask our guest a question later on. She's been the finest champagne that you can buy for £19.50 at Sainsbury's. It was £15 last week, and then Sainsbury's, they must have gone, blimey, we sold one. Let's see if we can bump the price up. I meant to pop to, like, a wine warehouse and get, like, five bottles for a fiver or something, you know. £20 of your Kickstarter money, that's gone, just psh, burn up like it's nothing. So let's see who's in the audience. Before we get cracking, I want to have a little... There's a man with a fine beard here. Have I talked to you before, sir? Hello, what's your name? Wait a second, because I'm really... I mean, it's, to be fair, it's not working. This is the new iPhone. It's not them, it's the new iPhone. I mean, that's just not working, is it? That's not my fault. I pressed that. Look, you press that button and see if you can make it video, Andy. It's like my little nephew. What's your name? I was just admiring your beard, sir. What's your name? Andy. Yeah. How long did that beard take to grow?
About a month.
A month? Yeah, it's not the first time you did it. How long have you had the beard?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. Is it work with the ladies? Are you together? Yeah. Yeah. Have you never met him before, Andy? Just looking at you going, yeah, it does. It works with them. Well, do you like the beard? What do you like about... What's your name, madam?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, what do you like about the beard particularly?
He seems to like it.
I think she's just got used to it. She's got, oh, okay, he comes with that beard. When you shave the beard off, do you look like incredibly like a little tiny boy? Yeah. Has it got chins under there? Yeah, I've got that problem. Oh, my God, what am I talking to you for? Look at this. What, I was wasting my time with little bum fluff boy over here. Look at this. What's your name?
Neil.
Fucking, it's got a little Brian Blessed thing going on there. So thank you, Neil. What do you do for a living, Neil? Wait, do you work in IT?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow, you should try.
I think you could do
really well. What do you do?
I'm a postman.
You're a postman? That's my dream job. My dream job is to play a postman. But Dr. Hillary from this morning said that there are no fat postmen. What do you do? Do you do the round? You go walking on the round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do one where I drive a lot.
Yeah, that's fair enough, isn't it? Oh no, look, man, I can't fucking look at this. We should later on. We'll get together and we'll belly bump these babies together. And I'll grow my beard for next time, and then I'll show you youngsters what a beard is. I can't. Mine only sort of grows underneath. That's the problem. So it kind of grows down like a. Are you fluffy at the side? And I'm going. It's going grey at the edges. Mine. Oh, well, enough beard talk. This is, I've got a new podcast. It's just about beard. Ah, it's a nice beard there, man. So that's nothing with these two here. I thought I'd just change it to be mainly about beards. No? Okay, well, in that case, we'll crack on with our first guest. I should crack on because she's actually doing 2 gigs tonight. So we want to get the most out of her before she is forced to go and perform elsewhere. She's probably best known for her appearance as Emma in the hit short film, Hard to Swallow, that I was also in, I'm sure you remember. No? It's Kerry Godman, ladies and gentlemen! Kerry Godman, come in, hello. Come in, sit down. Pick up a microphone. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Let me just check. I have turned it off, that's all right. I got like an hour of the desk last week, which we might put out as a special podcast. So it's lovely to have you here.
Thanks.
What do you remember about the Hard to Swallow shoot, which
you
we just
rude.
Worked out? Was,
you were
I
rude.
Was very rude.
Who could have foreseen that?
I did ad-lib
you
some
being
quite,
rude.
Quite rude.
You well, were we, really rude. The script was rude, and then you went, can I ad-lib? And then yeah. went fucking in with the rude.
There was, well, we were a couple, innit?
Yeah.
We were married.
We weren't happy.
We were very unhappy. You were playing an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I was playing a quite rude man.
That was horrible to me. Horrible.
You said
my alcoholism.
Your character said that I had wanked in her sock, so that's quite rude.
And then I said, well, at least the sock's got some elastic in it. That was my ad-lib.
It was the funniest line.
And then you laughed.
Yeah.
And then looked angry.
It was good, but I'm acting. Yeah. It was really funny.
They did keep that. It was funny.
They found a wine glass, I remember, because she was such a boozer.
Yeah.
They wanted to find a wine glass that can take a whole bottle of wine.
Right.
And then there was a sort of long shot of me just pouring the whole bottle into a glass. But that's the thing, a wine glass that can hold a bottle.
Yeah. I had to eat a lot of mashed potato.
You were right with that.
I did quite enjoy it.
You seemed really happy with that.
I worked for the free mashed potato. I worked.
You're like, they said you don't have to swallow it on it. You're like, no, I'll eat it because my character would.
Free potato. Free warm,
you
like
peasant.
Lukewarm.
Free potato.
It was ages ago. Did you get paid in money? I don't think I got paid. I think everyone else got paid because I heard them talking about being paid.
They said
it was free potato.
And
you can pretend to take some cocaine. That's what they said.
Ah.
We were all sort of smashed.
Weren't
yeah, we?
We
were in the thing. We didn't take cocaine because that would be illegal. It was good. It was a good cut. It's all on. Still online.
It
I think
online.
You can watch it free. Called Hard to Swallow. It's very funny. I'm going to spoil it though because at the end there was a bear comes in. As I'm talking about
bear.
A character who's called the bear, and then the end is a bear coming into the house.
That's the reveal. It's a real bear.
And I just felt sorry for the people. We've filmed it in someone's house. In West London somewhere or something.
Well,
like that.
They're greedy. They put their name on some sort of database about, let's just get money for our house and fuck them.
And then a huge, like not a small, a proper big bear then was running
smashed
around.
Smashed their house.
And there were people in there dressed in our, we had to leave our clothes so the people could dress up in our clothes so it would look like we were next to the bear. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
We
You've
did,
got a good memory. I'm worried that my memory's going.
Well, I don't really do much acting, so that was it was the highlight of my career. So I'm looking back at that. I thought it was
maybe
about,
for the potato.
I was. I thought it was about 5 years ago, but it was
longer.
It was a long time ago.
The anchor of having children, sort of time. You know, I know it was before our kids, and my daughter's nearly 10. So that's how long ago it was.
Makes
you feel really old.
It does make me feel really old. It's awful. So yeah. Anyway, it was good. Check it out. But there's loads. I mean, you're doing so much stuff at the moment. People will have seen you in Derek, which I think was probably your big break in terms.
Yeah.
Of, you were doing stand up before that.
Long before that.
And acting. You went to acting school.
Rose Bruford.
It like going? Because I'd always wanted to go to acting school. My parents wouldn't let me go.
Wouldn't they?
No, because they wanted me to. And rightly so. Because I wasn't very good, but because they wanted me to get a proper education.
So it was them that stopped you, and not the audition process.
Yeah, well, I never tried the audition.
Yeah, I didn't go because my parents wouldn't have allowed me to go. Well, they'd have let me in for sure.
I'm not sure they would have, but was it good? Was it worth it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Some people do, and some people don't. You hear different stories, don't you? I had a good time. It's a lot of legitimate dicking about.
Yeah.
That's a drama school training. It's like you can spend a term being a camel.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I'm not even joking. We did do a whole animal term where we went to the zoo.
You're not allowed to be anything but a camel for a term.
You're allowed to slip in and out of it. People just sort of go into parties as camels. But yeah, you're mucking about. There's very often not. You don't, again, get the opportunity to be that experimental with something, and it is just mucking about for 3 years.
You did 3 years.
Yeah, it's a degree.
Yeah.
Got a BA, mate.
Just pretending.
Don't imply. I mean, I did say it was dicking about 3 years.
Well, who else was with you at drama school?
Well, as in famous people.
Yeah.
Well, names of my friends that I was at college with.
Was there any famous people?
No, not in my year. I can tell you people that went to that college, like Gary Oldman was their big one. They wheeled him out at every opportunity.
Yeah. Literally.
He was at our graduation ceremony. He was like, look, he did go here. So he was like the big one. And then, I don't know, you have to go on their website.
I will. Okay. So.
My friend,
sorry.
My friend teaches there now because they do theatre design, like set design. And she said they've got a list of all the people. What's the proper word?
Alumni.
Yeah, the people that have been to the... And I'm not on it. It's like, oh, fuck them.
That will change.
Thanks, Richard.
It will. You've done Derek, and you've just... But very excitingly, and I just watched it this morning, because it's on Netflix. You're in the new Christopher Guest film, Mascots.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because that's pretty exciting.
It was exciting, yeah.
So how did you get to be...
He saw Derek.
Did he?
It's sort of one of those dream scenarios. I didn't even audition for it.
Right.
He just saw Derek and asked me to be in it. And it was one of those, check my diary. Yeah. I am free.
So how long do you spend filming something like that? So it's like one of his... things that he wouldn't like to be called a mockumentary.
He doesn't like that word, does he? No.
And if you will,
rockumentary. Yeah.
No, but it's so it's like you know, it's about mascots, which is something we don't really have.
Although the character was in. Yeah. Do we not have them here?
Well, not to the extent I think in America. So the people who at ball games dress up in stupid.
We do
have them
it.
In football. We do. We have that David Wrigley one of the terrifying cloud.
Isn't there a West Ham? Someone told me
there probably is. Yeah. I don't really like
they
sport.
They exist. I don't. I don't like sport.
No. There's a competition in the film at least about all the mascots getting together
and their routine. And,
yeah.
So it's like Best in Show with mascots.
It is.
Yeah. It's people competing, which always brings out the best in humans.
Yes.
Competing.
It's funny. There's loads of really funny stuff in it.
Yeah.
There's lots of funny set pieces, and you're very good in it. And so you're playing the wife of a guy who's
a hedgehog.
He's a hedgehog for some football, for some non-league football
sort of team. Croydon team.
Yeah. Who's very good. I mean, the thing I would say about it is his routine that he seems to have improvised with a ladder.
It's sort of supernatural, his routine. He levitates. Yeah. Essentially, he levitates. So you'll make him come first, will you?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens at the end of the
film. Have I just ruined it?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure. what happens when you go and work on a Christopher Guest film? Because there's no script as such.
Well, there isn't dialogue in the script, but there is a script.
Yeah.
So he has written it, and it has a narrative, and it's structured, and you do have a character, and he told me who my character was. And he'd written her, but he just hadn't written any lines for her, so you just have to improvise the lines. But you have you are working to sort of bullet points, if you know what I mean. You know what you need to get in.
Yeah.
So it's improvised, but not fully improvised.
But it's got to be hard. You work with other actors, and a lot of it's to camera.
Yeah.
So it must be hard to work out when you can speak and when they're speaking.
Yeah, I suppose. But that you get loads of tries at it and muck about and stuff like that.
Yeah. And is that intimidating to be being directed? I mean, were you a big fan of Spinal Tap? I mean,
of course. I was a big fan. So it was intimidating. But actually, like, you know, anything, once you're a bit more familiar with it, you can relax. He was very welcoming and very reassuring. And once you get started, you're in, aren't you?
Yeah. So, and you're working with all these Posey Parker.
Well, all my scenes, I wasn't working with any of the big stars. I was working with Tom Bennett, who I kind of knew anyway.
Right.
So, and he and I had chatted loads, and he lived nearby, and we'd met down in Brighton. And so we'd built up a bit of a relationship because we were playing husband and wife. So all my scenes really were with him.
Yeah.
So I wasn't.
Who do you think played your partner better, him or me? Who was the
best? Definitely you.
I thought it was me.
Just for that elastic line alone.
Christopher Guest should watch that if he wants to see some improvisation. I'm going
to
send him just that line.
Hi, Chris.
Will you look at this and then I just say that?
I improvise that.
Yeah. And then see what he says. Well, no, it's amazing. So you can watch on Netflix for free if you've got Netflix, or join Netflix.
You don't get Netflix for free.
Go around someone's
Netflix
house.
Netflix isn't free.
Go around someone's house who's got Netflix and watch it for free. Go to someone who's got Netflix and say, what's your password?
Ask them if they've got any mashed potato available.
Yeah.
Free potato and a free film.
That'd be good. I've got some new emergency questions that I'm very excited about. So I want to get straight to them, and we'll come back and talk more about you in a minute. But, you know, I've got to write 500 emergency questions for the Kickstarter book. I thought it'd be quite easy, because I thought I'd probably had about 250.
Because you were feeling cocky.
Yeah. I had about 100, and now I've got 200. So it might be a while before that Kickstarter book is arriving, is what I'm saying. But here are some new ones I've come up with. I really like this one. Hold on, where is it? If you had to do a human centipede with two other people of your choice, and you are in the middle, which other two people would you choose? So you've got someone to suck
this
the
like
shit.
It's
when your mouth is stitched to the anus of the person in front of you, and your anus. I feel we're good enough friends to talk about this. Your anus is stitched to the mouth of the person behind you. So I would choose
stitching, as in
they stitch it there so you can't escape or stick it. Is that right? Is it stitched? I've never seen a human centipede. It seems disgusting. But they stitch. They drug you, and then when you wake up, you find that your mouth is on the anus. So like they shit into your mouth, and then you shit, and then you shit into the mouth. It's just a thing. It's the kids are doing now.
I don't know of it.
Now.
It's not a thing.
I've
never heard of it.
There's a film called The Human Centipede, and there's another one called The Human Centipede 2. I think it's the same. They probably just add another one on the end. It's probably four. It's like Ocean's 11. They just keep adding one.
There's a storyline with twisting it other than a man being stitched
to
the anus of another man.
A madman I'm guessing, I've never seen it. Kidnaps some people and drugs them, and then when they wake up, they're all soaked. But you can choose the people in my. I'm a nice
so
man.
So who's asked? I want my mouth to be soaked.
Yeah, I would choose Gemma Chan, the actress from Robots, because I'm guessing she her poo is probably quite nice. And then I would, on the other end, I'd have Michael Gove, so I would be pooing. Once Gemma Chan's poo has gone through me, then it would go. It's not nice once it's gone through me. And then he goes into Michael Gove's, and he's just getting double shit, Michael Gove. I'm only getting Gemma Chan's shit.
So you've got to like the person who's.
Well, you know, it's up to you. You can
dislike the person.
You might want to eat the shit of somebody you don't like. I don't know who you are.
I don't want to eat anyone's shit, Richard.
No, but you don't have a choice, do you? That's the beauty of the human
soul.
You don't. You've woken up. You could. Your mouth is so open. So
there's
the poo is the poo
anus.
Is however much
I'm properly going.
However much Gemma Chan in my case holds it in, goes, I don't want to give Richard Herring the satisfaction of eating my shit because I know he'd do it even if I wasn't so to him. But eventually nature takes its course. That comes in. I go, thank you very much. I would lick my lips, but I can't because
Michael Gove.
And then Michael Gove's behind me,
tripping along behind.
Yeah, the problem with it is I've still got. Is Michael Gove still there? Isn't
he? He's in your life.
He's very much attached to me. He can't.
He would
talk,
spoil the fun of eating Gemma Chan's shit.
He would absolutely spoil that.
He'd be like, stuck with this guy.
He'd be going. So-called experts say that poo will come out of her arse and then into my mouth, but I don't believe that is going to happen, Richard. That's
what
he would
saying
say.
Much.
He would be saying much. I think you probably. I don't know who's seen the film. Can they talk? They talk a bit. They go. Oh. No, you've seen Andy. Yeah. Tip. Have you seen Human Centipede 2? Yeah. You seen Human Centipede 3? Is there one?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Where is there to go?
You gave up at 2, right, Andy? You thought, that's enough watching people being put in horrifics. I've watched 2 of them. So who would you choose? Who would you like to eat?
I'm still really upset about the concept. I don't want
to. Well, no, it's an upsetting.
I mean, you've given it tons of thought.
I don't know. I thought it was very easy for me. That came to me straight away.
Someone you like enough to eat their shit.
Well,
someone you hate enough to shit in their mouth.
The person you'd least mind to eat the shit. I don't think I'd...
I don't want to...
I know no one wants to be the middle of a human centipede. At best, be the front of the human centipede. That's the best place to be, isn't it? If you're in the front. Don't even have to wipe your bum anymore. It's a beautiful...
Yeah.
It's a beautiful...
Yeah, be at the front.
You're still eating food, la-di-da.
La-di-da. La-di-da.
That's what you're saying. And then just, well,
you could go about your life. Don't mind these guys.
You'd have to, you know, work together to move along and
stuff. Well, it's like a pantomime horse. How do you get shit done? I wouldn't want to do the school run explaining... Oh, this is Richard's idea. I've got someone stitched to my arse and then someone stitched to their arse.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Okay, it's all right. You don't have to. I can't make that happen unless I've drugged
I'm
that
really,
water.
Really
and it could
upset.
Be you, me and Chris Addison.
Yeah.
If it was you, me and Chris Addison, which position would you like to take?
Well, you're going on the back.
All right, I think that's a good question. Here's another good question I came up with on my own. I made this one. I didn't even copy this off the internet.
Look at the pride.
Have you ever been in a canoe?
What a climb down from human centipede. I just talked into the wrong. I have been on.
Yeah. What was the circumstance?
I went to.
I think this would be an interesting story. That's my guess. Yeah,
it was one of those like school trips in when I was sort of 11.
Yeah.
One of those PGL. Is it PGL? Does anyone know? Yeah. Yeah, one of them. Did abseiling, canoeing, dry ski, slope skiing. I do remember I had to do abseiling and the teacher, who was called Mr. Man, Mr. Man told me off for not abseiling properly. Like, I was in a fetal position crying, which I don't think is how you're supposed to do it. He said, just straighten your legs! And you're meant to walk down a cliff as if that's just normal. And he said, I do remember him saying, I wouldn't mind, but you can't even canoe. that's my canoeing story.
I went on a canoe and a... when I was on camping with my parents and with some European Dutch guy took me up the river.
Yeah. Oh, God.
it was the same. We were both 14. It was nice. And we canoed down. And I was scared because I didn't know what to do. And he said, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then we got to, like, waterfalls and stuff, and I wasn't fine.
Right.
And we all got... It got tipped over, and it was really scary. We fell out. And then a woman with no top on came and saved us. So it was great.
Yeah. So it's a fond memory.
And my parents were... I hadn't told my parents where I'd gone. And when I got back, they were sort of searching the campus.
Oh, God.
I was quite scared that I died. So, you see, I thought that would be a good question, because I thought something like that was not just I can't abseil either. All right, here's another new one. We'll see if... It's hard coming up with emergency questions. Which is your favourite bun that is named after a place?
I don't know any buns that are named.
Chelsea bun.
Oh, yeah.
Bath bun.
What's a Bath bun?
It's like a bit like Chelsea bun. It comes from Bath.
So do I like Chelsea is the question, really.
I think, what's the difference between a Chelsea bun and a Bath bun, anyone? One's a swirly. One's like, I think a Chelsea bun is...
I'm not a massive lover of a bun.
No, okay.
I don't care about
buns. All right, that's not a good question. All right. All right, this is a good question. What is your third earliest memory?
I've got a shit memory. I don't have good memories. I think I've got a memory, and then I realise it was a photograph.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Like replicant.
It's
like
hard to... But it's interesting, because a lot of people can remember their first thing, but it's hard to remember the third thing that you can
remember. Well, I can't remember anything.
No. What's the earliest thing you can remember?
Last week.
Okay.
I wish I had a better memory, but I don't.
Okay, here's a good... I thought there was another good one. Here it is. If you had your dream dinner party and you could invite anyone you wanted, living or dead... Who would you employ to do the washing up? They are not allowed into the party, but they will get tantalising glimpses of the conversation going on, but they never hear the punchline, so they're not allowed in. That would be very frustrating for them.
Oh, that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, who would you like that to be?
Probably Renee Zellweger. She can't come, but right. She can wash up.
So that really is the person you'd like on your bum. On the that's what no, we got
that's
to
a different,
with that.
That's a different.
You wouldn't.
Criteria.
You don't like her. Don't dislike her that much.
I wouldn't stitch her to my arse.
No. Well, you would.
But she can wash up.
Someone else would do that.
I like that she's just not allowed to join in. Does she want to?
Yeah, absolutely. Because imagine the people... Don't tell me who they are. I'm not interested.
No, that's...
But imagine the people you would choose. I mean, they'd be amazing, I imagine.
Oh.
And Renée Zellweger would be going, God, I'd love to meet whoever that is.
That lot.
Yeah. And you would be going, no, bad luck. You can...
Get out.
Just be interesting.
I'm quite into it. Get out.
So you appeared in the Bird's Eye polar bear commercial for frozen king prawns.
Yeah.
Have you got any memories of that?
I remember it paid for in Edinburgh.
Did it? Did you get free king prawns?
No.
No.
I tell you what was interesting about that is that the voice was Willem Dafoe.
Was it?
Yeah, of the polar bear. It actually was Willem Dafoe.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why do you think...
They wanted Christopher Walken. And they got Willem Dafoe, and he said, no, thanks. But Willem Dafoe said,
why
go on then.
Why do you think Willem Dafoe... I mean, I can understand, Kerry, without any offence, that you would take
none
that...
None taken.
That, you would take that
I was
part.
Happy to play Janice from Bromley. Flogging
but
prawns.
Why does... This is my... We were talking about this last week, but with Kevin Bacon. Why does he do these awful, humiliating adverts?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing.
Because he must have enough money...
Yeah, he doesn't need to
and
do
William
it.
And William Dafoe probably has enough money, doesn't
well,
he?
Well, it does make you wonder what the money was. Yeah. You're like, oh, maybe it is a lot of money, like enough to make him want to do it. Plus, he probably thought, well, no one will ever know.
Then you've spilled
now.
The beans, haven't you?
But do you think he'll mind? He won't mind.
He's a big fan of this podcast.
Do you think he'll listen?
And now he'll probably be cross.
Well, I don't think he'll mind. And... It's a weird thing. I mean, like, that it's Willem Dafoe. Like, couldn't you just get a Sandy likey that sounds like Willem Dafoe? But they got the real one. Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it?
It is. I don't really remember the advert.
Would you want me to run you through
it? Yeah, good, do, yeah.
So I'm in this holiday talking, and then a polar bear says...
Is it a cartoon polar bear
or
a real
puppet?
It's
a puppet, and he says, the holiday's nearly over, Janice, but you can take the taste of the holiday with you. I did quite a lot of adverts, so I didn't mind the humiliation talking to a polar bear.
Yeah.
But, as I say, it paid for in Edinburgh.
When they say you take the taste of the holiday with you,
prawns.
And then they give you frozen
prawns,
I mean,
prawns.
Is that just, this is an approximation of what you've been tasting on your holiday?
You seeking truth from an advert.
Yeah.
Or you won't get that.
Okay, fair enough. fair enough.
Adverts tell lies.
So you've got loads of stuff coming up, and I'm quite interested. You work with your husband. Does he play your husband?
He plays my husband in the radio show.
And you're going to do that on TV as well? Is that?
I'd like to. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
No, it's not. It's not.
It's in a pipe.
So what's the? Is that? It's based on one of your stand-up shows about just. It's about.
Yeah. I did in Edinburgh, and then that sort of led to a radio
series.
The show's
called Kerry's List.
Yes.
And you've done a couple of series of that.
Yes.
And what's it like working with your husband on that?
It was really nice, actually. It was a lot of fun. And there's a shorthand there that made... If you're trying to get that kind of marriage, authentic marriage-y banter, then why not have a real marriage? It's quicker.
But if you've had an argument on the morning on the way there... Because I imagine... I've got a child now, and you've got two children.
Yeah.
When you have children, you kind of bicker quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose when you're tired, you do.
So,
But that's all useful for a sitcom, isn't it? Isn't sitcoms all bickering?
It is,
Isn't that what a sitcom is?
You just channel that. I suppose if you're having a real argument, and then you go in and have a...
We didn't have any arguments. Why are you... Were we
I'm just trying to...
We didn't argue. I'm really sorry.
Not what he told me.
We didn't. We got on very well. Yeah. It was a very sort of nice, close little team of people. He was good.
And you're doing... There seems to be a lot coming up. I mean, you're still doing stand-up.
I've been doing stand-up for
14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, it would be because you'd been doing stand-up when we did that thing.
Yeah.
You
lent me a projector, I remember.
That's right, I did. And you know what? Thanks for reminding me of that.
I haven't seen
when you gave me it back.
Was it broken?
You left the cord in Edinburgh, the plug-in cord.
I'm really sorry.
Sorry, it's just the same as a kettle, so I just use one from a kettle.
I'm really sorry about that. How rude.
Hey, very rude.
That's like borrowing a car and pranging it.
It was gone. And then I just thought, that's what Kerry Godwin
did. I didn't even stop the car, I just chucked it out the window. Cheers.
That's in Edinburgh somewhere. Some Scottish blokes are there going, I got me free projector card. Just need to get the projector now. My Scottish accent.
It was a bit.
Could you send that to Christopher? I'm going to put that. That's going to my show reel. I do the Welsh black guy from the intro, Scottish guy, and man talking about vaginas.
There's loads available on your CV. Like this bit, what would he not want?
Those are the best things. Yeah, they're going to Christopher Guest any explanation of who I am.
Yeah, it's just going to
be.
Great.
It's going to be a parcel with an old cassette tape in it.
Yeah,
listen to this. He's going to have to find a cassette player from the past, play it, and it'll just be those three things. And if he likes them enough, he'll work out who I am.
He'll just find you.
He'll Spotify it.
Yeah.
He'll be able to find you're into yoga?
Not mad.
You're into it.
Yeah.
What do you like? Because I saw Zoe Lyons talking about you doing yoga.
When?
How I Met Zoe Lyons independent piece. I've very thoroughly researched this interview.
You've Googled.
I did one of those with Andrew. You know that How We Met in the Independent. I've done one before, but I did one with Andrew Collins.
Oh, okay.
And they never printed it.
Oh. They swapped our ages, which really pissed me off because she's older than me. She was over the moon. I do yoga a bit, but you've definitely zoomed in on a thing that you won't get much out of.
You mentioned yoga in the dressing room as well.
I do end up talking about yoga. I talk about yoga in my show.
That's why I wrote in my book.
I do like it.
Yeah.
But I've got issues with it.
What are your issues with it?
Well, it's tiring, isn't it?
I don't know. It looks pretty easy to me.
Well, not if you properly get going. I don't get involved in that hot room stuff. Those people are freaks.
Isn't it just sitting around?
No.
No, okay.
I mean, there's loads of bending about.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your favourite
yoga
pose? I'm going to make that an emergency question. Write that down. I'll put that in the book.
The one where you lie down. Yeah. Corpse, I think it's called.
How did you end up getting the part in Derek as well? Stand-up. Was it just through the stand-up?
Mm. I think I'd auditioned for, all his other stuff.
Mm.
And I had a little part in Extras. I've got, a scene in Extras. Right, yeah. And I had a little part in Life's Too Short. So I'd done stuff with him before, and then I'd gig with him.
Yeah.
And he just remembers people.
Yeah.
So that's how that came about.
Yeah. It's, you were saying backstage, where you ended up playing all these kind of nice...
Nice people.
Nice people. Because in our thing, you weren't, we weren't, neither of us.
Yeah.
Because it's a more of a straight acting role, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite a straight acting
role,
yeah.
Which is,
I can do withered looks. I'm really good at withered looks. But yeah, it wasn't the sort of comedy.
Right. And would you like to do, because in Mascots again it's a similarly,
yeah, similarly a sort of nice supportive woman.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I mean, I did a thing a few years ago called Home Time, and I got to be a real arsehole in that, and that was a lot of fun. It's nice at playing, I mean, it's nice playing all the things, but it's, I suppose, when you play someone nasty, there's more sort of comedy scope to be nasty.
Yeah. I mean, your stand-up's very funny. You can see, there's lots of stuff online people can see, and they can come see you on tour. You're in your show.
I am, yeah. I'm touring now. Stick or Twist, yeah.
Is there a theme to that, or is it...
Sort of, but you know...
Sounds like it from the title.
Yeah, but you have to have a theme, don't you? Don't you have to have a theme? If you just say, oh, it's just an hour of stand-up, they're not happy with that. You have to...
Well, I often do theme stuff. But
you
But then my show this year is the best of the stuff I've got.
Right.
That'll be a short show, eh, Andy? No, it won't, because best of just means the least worst stuff, so it'll be 90 minutes long, so shut up. You know, it's quite nice to do something that sort of themes still develop even when you...
Well, the thing is, when you're asked...
It's about you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're asked what your themes are, sometimes they sort of develop and evolve while the show's going on.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be asked at the end, which is useless for PR.
But is it about... Reaching some point in your life and discovering and deciding whether you're...
Yeah, it was initiated by deciding whether or not to leave London, because I've always lived in London all my life, and I sort of feel like I flirt with leaving a lot, and I don't, and I've been flirting with it for as long as I can remember, really, and I'm still here.
You're still here.
So it's sort of a bit about that, but then it goes off into different places.
We're thinking of moving out of London.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, everybody does think about it.
You have children and...
And, like, lots of my mates have gone, and I sort of think, oh, I don't want to be the last one...
And soon it'll be destroyed by ISIS nuclear bombs.
Well, that is an incentive, isn't it? I mean, they don't mention that on location.
That'll really bring the property prices down to something people can afford. That's the part. You should be kind of willing that to happen, because you'll be able to buy a house in central London for 10, 20 quid. You know, it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? It'll be in 10,000 years' time, it'll be worth some money again.
Well, that's a positive way of approaching housing.
These people don't like the idea of a terrorist attack happening to them, I tell you. I thought they would enjoy them. We're safe. We're underground. Hey, we're underground. They could drop a nuclear bomb in Leicester Square now. We'd be killed.
Where would you move to if you leave London?
We're looking at kind of Hertfordshire, because it's where my wife's family live.
Oh, it's not too UKIP-y around there? Because that's the problem.
Well, that's what my wife's...
Have to be careful with the old UKIPs.
We went to look at houses, and there was like two houses with the Union Jacks.
Yeah, you've got to watch all that. Scotland?
That's what my wife's very worried about. Well, yeah, Scotland could be all right, couldn't it?
I was walking... I don't very often walk in the countryside, but I did go for a walk in the summer, and there was a UKIP poster nailed to a tree in a wood. There's no one there.
That's probably one of the indigenous squirrels has done that. It's trying to get rid of the...
That's what I'm scared of leaving London, is the UKIPs.
Yeah. The world's very scary. There's nowhere to go.
Anywhere. Just
I keep trying to get Peter Boehner on here, who lives in America. He said, you know, if Donald Trump gets in, he'll be coming back here.
Oh, right.
To live here, so we might get him on. If that'll be one of the good things about... If Donald
one
Trump wins.
One good thing about Trump.
But I said, you know, if Donald Trump wins, then, you know, you won't be able to hide here. Because basically Nigel Farage is trying to set himself up
as he's distanced himself,
satellite sort of Mussolini of Britain, isn't he?
Yeah, but now Farage is like, oh, I didn't know about the groping stuff. So he's backed off. Yeah. He's a man of high morals.
The guy who got punched. I think it was interesting. I was talking about this, and as it occurs to me, that when that guy, the UKIP guy, punched the other UKIP guy, but he didn't punch him.
Oh, that was great.
And he nearly killed him. I was thinking, when that happened, I was thinking, hey, brilliant. I hope he dies. But B, I was thinking, oh, that's good, that'll be funny. I can do loads of comedy about that. But within about a few days, it was already wiped off the agenda. There's so many things have happened that you've forgotten, haven't you? You've forgotten that it happened, haven't you?
Handbags at Dawn, he called it, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's just left UKIP, that guy.
The guy
who got punched or didn't get punched. The guy who fell over and banged his head and nearly died and then was all right. He's kind of like a Jesus figure, really. And so I think you should follow.
It was after the leader left as well.
See, well, he was going to be the new leader, but then he was talking about going to the Conservatives. That's why the other guy had a...
Well, that's how you saw these things.
But the Conservatives have become more right-wing than UKIP.
I know, it's all a bit of a... Well, that's why the leader went, isn't
it? Nigel Farage, whatever you think about him, is the most successful politician
he is
in the last 100 years. Because he's got voted in to the European Parliament, but he's got one MP.
Yeah.
And yet everything he wanted has been come to pass because of him. So he's the most successful politician we've probably ever had in our lifetime.
Isn't that a lovely, reassuring thing?
Wonder what he'll do next, eh? Looking forward to it, London? There's people that are listening out this in the country going, yeah, we love him, Rich. We don't have a go at us. Brexit was a good idea.
It's really, it's such a comedy, doesn't it? If you mention Trump or Brexit, everyone's
I know, but I kind of, it's what I love is people going, we have to, we said it, we've got to do it. We've got to follow it through, and as I said, and as it occurs to me, this coming out before this, I bet all the people who said, once something's decided, that's it, you can't have another go.
Yeah.
But I bet you every single person who supported Brexit feels the exact opposite about the trial of Ched Evans. But surely, if we get to a point where we voted for it, you know, Theresa May, we voted for it, so it's got to be... But it's really going to hurt. Everyone's going to get badly hurt. We said we were going to do it.
Yeah.
So well, can we not change our minds? No. You
she
said you were going to do it.
Doesn't seem
now
to want
you've
to,
got
do
to do it.
Do it.
Well, people are saying she's doing it in order to show us how bad it would be, so we'll all go, oh.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
sorry.
A lesson learned, isn't it? Fucking hell, that's like a parent burning your hand on a hob. See, I told you it is.
It's very. It's. I think a lot of it's very scary. There was a. I don't know if it. There was this thing today on Twitter, like this poll that some guy saw, and it was called Christian Holiday. Did you see this? It sounded like, and he came from Burtford or something, right? It sounded like such a prank thing, and he was saying that he set up a poll for. I don't know if it's real or if it's a spoof.
Yeah.
He set up one of those government petitions saying that anyone who says that the UK should go back to EU should be convicted of treason sent to prison. And he'd done it, and 85 people had signed this petition. And it sounds like a joke, but if I Googled him, and there's quite a lot
it's
about
a
him on there.
Thing.
So if someone's made it up, they've made it up and then given him a bat. So let's really go for this. But he's called Christian Holiday. I mean, that's sort of like...
Made up?
That, well, it's such a sort of terrible name you would give to... It's sort of like... You'd give it's actually the kind of terrible name you would give to someone who was too PC, wouldn't you? It's kind of like it's.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to call it Christmas. I'm going to call it the Christian holiday. That's what.
Yeah.
Becomes, so it's very strange. But that thing is worrying. When what the Brexit has allowed people to do is to voice those things.
Yeah.
But they obviously felt them all the time and felt they couldn't.
Well, I was
say
quite happy when they were quiet about it.
Yeah. But is
it
that...
was when people keep saying the racism that's coming out and they're like, oh, you know, it was all there, but now it's out. You're like, no, it was better when it wasn't out.
But is it? I mean, it is better that it was out. But if they're thinking it and they're still feeling it, I mean,
if you're thinking it, better to think it than attack someone.
Yeah, but is there an element that people, and I'm slightly playing devil's advocate here, that there's so much political correctness and people were worried about what they could and they couldn't say and they felt they had to shut up, but they carried on thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Is it not better to try and actually change people's mind rather than...
That would be preferable,
tell them to say that. You can't say that.
That kind of freedom of speech thing, isn't it? That where's the line between I should be allowed to say absolutely anything. You're like, you shouldn't be allowed to say absolutely anything, even if some people do believe it or think it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you should be allowed to say it and then people could...
Yeah, but not attacking people
off.
And, you know... No, no.
No, definitely not attacking people.
Definitely not.
Unless they're in UKIP, in which case, like I just said, it'd be good if that guy died.
But you didn't attack him.
That is fine.
But you didn't do it.
That is fine.
That would, the convenience of that is that another UKIP bloke did it. And
but
you've
if
got
I'm sitting at home going, it'd be quite... I mean, I think that about a lot of things that go wrong in the world. You know, you're sitting there partly thinking, it'd be quite good if something really bad happens.
Yeah, okay. But now you've wished... I mean, that now some really bad things are happening, and I blame you.
Yeah, it could be my fault.
It's your fault. You've willed it just to get fucking material.
So it's your stand-up show about that.
It isn't really, no.
I don't
tend to do sort of politics.
No, well, you're talking to Stuart Goldsmith about this on his excellent Comedians Comedian podcast.
Yeah.
This is a very good one, and people should listen to that. But you said... Well, I found what interesting. You were talking about political comedy.
Yeah.
You would like to do political comedy.
I sort of see that as, like, proper grown-up comedy.
But I don't agree with you.
I know, but then everybody sort of beats themselves up for what they don't do, don't they? And I do the news quiz now and then, and I know I feel like I really have to sort of read the papers and form an opinion and be properly a satirist and intellectual and things like that. And I think, oh, shit, I'm way out of my depth here. But it is I see it as that's, like, funny and sort of saying something of use.
Yeah.
Whereas chatting about yoga and whether or not to live in London doesn't feel useful as a contribution.
It's quite useful. I think it is useful. Well, I think, like, this... you know, I don't like that snobbishness about.
No.
I went to see Al Murray's show, which is quite political.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, he's trying to be entertaining,
yeah,
and succeeding, and he makes people laugh, and it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it's the things he's doing are much, you know, are as avant-garde as Hans Chuan or Stuart Lee would do. You
yeah.
know, and he's doing it to the people, many of whom maybe agree with what the pub landlord is saying. So he's making them, you know, there's a bit where he does a long bit about immigrants coming. He said, oh, those Turks, they were going to come, 10 million Turks were going to come in, and the audience are like, yeah, you know, they're slightly behind him. And they go, so they're coming in, they're going to come here and take the jobs of our Romanian immigrants, and then, you know, yeah, who then came and took the Polish immigrants. And then it goes on for ages,
yeah,
as
yeah.
he goes all the way through history explaining all the
yeah,
waves
yeah.
of immigration. And, you know, it's very hard to understand what an audience is thinking, and people say with him, oh, do they get the irony or not? But I think halfway through it, you could sense some people going, oh, hold on, is he taking the piss out of
us? That must be a weird thing.
Is he taking the piss out of us?
Who's the bloke who played Alf Garnett? Warren
Mitchell.
He used to get upset about that because yeah. he'd have people that thought he was Alf Garnett, and
yeah.
he was really left-wing, and
yeah,
he was
yeah.
like, it's a fucking character.
But then if you're actually doing, you know, the thing is, if you do political comedy, you'll probably play to an audience of people. You know, if we do political comedy
yeah.
tonight, I don't think there'll be many people going, oh, actually, I'll stop being racist now.
That's what I'm... Yeah, I mean, that's true. You're not going to... Are you going to convert people?
No, I don't think you are, but I think like that... So that's quite interesting. I just sort of think there's a sort of snobbishness to criticism.
Yeah.
I went to see that Al Murray show, and then Brian Logan from The Guardian gave it 2 stars. I wrote a blog about it in which I sort of said, this is an amazing show.
That's interesting.
Because it's entertaining, but also because a comedian's job is to be entertaining.
Is to be entertaining and funny
and to make
first.
People laugh, and to, you know, this... What I liked about that his show was it was confronting what a ridiculous situation we're in,
yeah.
but sort of almost celebrating English uselessness and that we've got ourselves in this mess and now.
Well, it is that thing because that character,
yeah.
a lot of what he wanted has come to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
So he has kind of yeah.
yeah. So
it is a difficult thing if you're kind of pastiching extreme right wing beliefs and then all of them come through. You're like, oh, I was joking.
I think he did really well with it. Brian Logan disagreed with me, but I think because there's a snobbish towards him because I
maybe you should
thing.
Stitch him on your ass when you're doing a human centipede. Put Brian Logan at the yeah. shit end.
I think he can go on Michael Gove's ass.
A few more critics coming out there.
But no, I think it's interesting that comedians feel. You know, what they're doing, if it's making people laugh, is less worthy than someone.
Well, that is a true thing, but also what Stuart does manage to do in that podcast is he will make you somehow like a sort of wily therapist. he will say, what do you wish you could do that you can't, or you acknowledge that you can't? So then you'll kind of admit it. You can't go, nothing. I'm great. You're kind of confessing that there are things you do well, and
yeah.
there are things you don't do as well,
yeah.
and... You know, you just have to know what you can do.
Yeah.
And I think what I was trying to get at is I admire that sort of comedy.
Sure, sure.
But it's not my comedy. I'd love to do it. I always feel really self-conscious when I do it. I feel like it's sort of walking in slow-mo towards the audience. I'm going to do a political joke. And
I think it's... But all those things are just, you know, it's about over... With stand-up, it's overcoming a load of hurdles, I think, as you're going. And
yeah.
there's loads... A lot of them are put there by yourself. So
exactly.
You absolutely could do that stuff, and the audience would go with you, I'm sure.
Well, you try and sort of justify that you're doing politics with a small p, or that it's micro, like a domestic thing, and
yeah.
the politics of that, you know, without having to do actual political satire, you know. But all frustration... I suppose you could argue that, in the end, it's political of sorts. Frustrations you have.
It is now.
It is, isn't it?
It is. Everything's political now. Now feminism's got in, and you can't.
It's
can't
rife.
Do, can't
it's
do
rife.
Those. Can't do the good jokes we used to do, can we, Andy? About how men are no good. Ah, yeah. I was sexist against men. The most stupid kind of sexism. Thinking that that's clever. If you were given the powers of a King Midas. But you could turn everything into something you wanted it to be rather than into gold.
Right.
Everything you touch would turn into the thing.
Yeah.
What thing would you turn everything into? Careful, though. It sounds like it's a good thing.
Well, that was the fable. That was the point.
It was a bad thing, wasn't it? So I just want warning you about that. No one warned King Midas about that.
But you're here to warn.
I'm here to warn you. Just so think carefully.
If only you were there.
Yeah.
I don't know, because if you go edible,
yeah,
you do.
That's quite good.
Yeah, like
but then you have to eat. You know,
that's what I mean. You're stuck with everything sort of
yeah.
tarama salata. I'd probably go for it if it was edible.
Yeah,
but then that would get you get yeah. after
It'd
a
be
while
too much, wouldn't it?
Nauseous of that. gold seems like the best option.
I think so.
The original model.
Yeah,
I'd go gold.
But then everything you touch would turn to gold, so, you know, it wouldn't be any good, would it? What would you do? You'd
have too much gold. Or, like, the car and the kids.
Yeah, your kids would turn to gold. I mean, that would be good,
though. Well, you wouldn't want to turn them to... anything. I mean, if you're going to turn them, if you have to turn them into a thing, make sure it's something worth something.
Yeah.
Like Taramu Salata or gold.
Maybe alternate between the two.
Yeah.
But then you would you would pick up the gold and it would turn into Taramu Salata.
This is a new Sophie's choice twist of Taramu Salata or gold.
Here's another question for you. Have you ever killed someone but never spoken about it? Like CJ from Eggheads. He killed someone.
Right.
Yeah. He kicked him in the canal. Then he wrote an autobiography about it. And he's in trouble now because that's murder.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
he got away with it, but then they've worked out who it was.
Do you get away with it on a conscience? Like, have you seen that old film with Edward G. Robinson when he kills someone and gets away with it and then he's haunted by his conscience?
Yeah, I don't think
it's
CJ.
It's like you don't get away with it.
CJ wasn't haunted. Maybe that's why he kept getting questions wrong, because he kept.
Or was he burdened
he
by
might
the
have
guilt?
Been, just every time we get a question, oh God, I wish I hadn't kicked that bloke in the canal. What was the
well,
question again?
It would get
again,
in the way.
Jeremy
Vine? It would get in the way. You'd be so. Like, I shouldn't have kicked that
He's
bloke in the canal.
He's the worst egghead, wouldn't he? I mean, do you ever watch Eggheads?
No.
Oh, you should watch
I've
it.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Do you know CJ from Eggheads?
No. But I get the drift. I can bob along with it.
He's good. So have you killed someone and never spoken about it? Yeah. Don't speak about it. Don't tell me about it. what is the worst misconception about you that is not true? That's a good question.
Are there misconceptions about me?
I don't know. Have you... I don't know. There are conceptions about you, but I don't know if they're misconceptions. I've just taken them all on board as being true. Is there anything that people think about you
that you don't
think is true? It's quite a tricky question.
It is, because then you have to know what people say about you.
They do, yeah.
I remember once years ago when I was a teenager, when you're sort of neurotic about these things, saying with a group of friends, oh God, I'd hate to know what people say about me behind my back. And one of the friends went, that you're loud.
That's true, though, isn't it?
I'm not that loud, though. That's the answer. I'm not that loud. Gobby is a misconception about me. I don't think I'm gobby.
No, all right. Have you ever seen a ghost?
I'd remember, wouldn't I?
You would. I think you'd remember. Well, maybe not. It might have scared you so much.
It wiped my memory. I did tell you I don't have a good memory, so it's feasible I saw one and then forgot.
Yeah,
you wouldn't forget, though, would you?
I don't think you would forget.
I mean, that would be within your top five anecdotes.
Yeah.
So, no.
No, okay. So, do you think there are ghosts?
What, do I believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
No. But it's a lovely idea, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Well, it is for people that miss dead relations.
But you're not. You're stuck, trapped on Earth, going, ooh.
I like the idea of... Well, you probably would say something more interesting, wouldn't you, if you were going
to
die?
They don't seem to, do they? That's what they mainly clank a chair. Ow! Clank, clank, clank.
Haven't you
for
seen...
For eternity.
No, some ghosts have got loads of...
Patrick Swayze.
What a ghost.
Yeah. I mean, in the film.
Top ghosts. There's your question. Yeah. Top three ghosts.
What's your top three ghosts?
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
The blithe spirit women.
Okay, I don't know them.
That Noel Coward one.
Yeah.
I don't know their names. Come on, one more.
Timothy Claypole from Rent-A-Ghost.
Oh, yes. There you go. Top three. Excellent ghosts. Yeah. So, yes, I do believe in ghosts.
Do you think the ghost of Patrick Swayze in real life will be as good as the ghost he played in the film?
If you were going to be haunted by Patrick Swayze, would you want him to be the dirty dancing Patrick Swayze, Johnny? Or would you want him to be
ghost? The ghosts and him leaning around and moulding a...
Do you do a lot of potting at the wheel?
Well, I don't, but if he was around and was a ghost...
You'd want him to cuddle you while you do it?
Yeah.
No, I'd want him to dance...
and catch you. But would you be
catch
worried?
Me. Oh,
but would you
oh
be worried? You would jump up and
that
then
is
you'd
a
go.
Turn.
Then you'd,
you'd
fall
like...
through.
You'd but jump... everyone would be like, no, Kerry, there's no such thing as ghosts. And you'd be like,
If he caught you, but, you know, you're corporeal, aren't you?
Is that that I'm solid and he's
you're,
not?
You've got human flesh.
I know. Oh, right, I haven't
you're
thought
bodily.
Through.
Yeah, so you would fall through the ghost Patrick Swayze.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's sad that he died, right? I'm not having a go, but he is dead.
I love Patrick Swayze.
You can't make your money off playing a ghost and then get upset when people start going, now you're a ghost. That's ironic. his own fault for playing around with being a ghost, wasn't it?
I've been watching Dirty Dancing lately because my daughter is now watching it. And I didn't know whether to let her because she's nine and there's an abortion in it.
Oh, is there?
So you've got to have that chat. Yeah. Nine seems a bit young to chat about abortions.
It does.
But then you realise that they don't really understand. They're just watching the dancing. Because I watched Grease when I was four, and that's got all kinds of sexual stuff in it.
Is that the baby that goes in the corner? Is that the abortion?
Baby in the corner is Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
You've enlightened me on the human centipede, and I've enlightened you on Dirty Dancing.
You have, yeah. I'm just wondering if the baby in the corner is the aborted baby.
I'd never thought of that, thanks. No.
You put it in the bin with the other ones. The special bin.
Do you think you'll let your daughter watch Dirty Dancing when she's nine?
I sort of think I'll let my daughter do anything she wants.
She's probably watched Human Centipede already.
She sort of just gets away with anything. I find it very difficult.
Oh, you do find it hard to discipline?
Yeah.
Really? Do you think that's
wise? Everything she does is funny. And it's kind of like it. I'd like her to be a very worldly five-year-old who cracks jokes.
Yeah, there is advantages and disadvantages too.
And smokes a cigar.
Just for your amusement.
Drinks whiskey.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. You might want to keep an eye on that.
No. It's difficult to know. It's an odd thing.
It is hard disciplining children. Yeah.
Knowing when they're ready for... My wife swears in front of my daughter all the time, and she's too young to understand it.
But is there going to be a point when she says cunt to granny, then you're... That's bad.
And I don't like... Weirdly, I really don't like people swearing in front of my daughter.
Well, it is embarrassing when they do it in front of other people. I mean, like, my daughter did say fuck in front of my mum, and it's like, oh, that really looks bad on us.
Yeah.
No one's judging them. They hear it and go... to you, it's bad. It reflects badly on the parents.
Yeah, no, it's definitely gonna.
But then it's better to get it out of the way, isn't it? I mean, they're going to hear it.
Get straight in there. First word, motherfucker.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if when they say, "What was my first word?" Like, motherfucker.
If you could jump into a pool of something, but you could choose whatever the thing. It's a bit like the.
It's like the Midas one, isn't it? Yeah.
But you're jumping in this time.
Well, you wouldn't want gold then.
No. What would you jump into?
Taramasalata.
Okay, good. It's very like it.
Do you say taramasalata or taramasalata?
I can't really say it. I tried to say it earlier and it went wrong, so I'm not going to try it. Taramasalata. Oh, that's what
there
I say.
There you go, that's what you say.
Yeah, taramasalata.
Not taramusalata.
I don't say taramusalata, no. It's definitely not that.
I think I've said that. I feel a bit embarrassed now with retrospect that I've said taramusalata. For a long time, I said avocados.
Did you?
I mean, years, well into my adult life.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've said anything. No.
Embarrassing.
I've always got everything exactly right. Oh.
Well done.
Well, Skellington, but I do that on purpose. That doesn't count. I can say Skellington.
I've said skizzers on purpose.
Skizzers. And hospical.
Oh, that's nice.
Chimley.
Oh, yes. They're good. They're cute. We were talking earlier about words that people use that you hate, and mine is hollybobs.
Yes.
Hate hollybobs.
Yeah.
If a friend says hollybobs, you're like, unfriend.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was... The other emergency question I have about that is if you're having sex with someone and they called their breast boobies, would you carry on having sex with them or would you stop?
I'd immediately stop. Cease.
Yeah. I don't think I could have sex with someone who called them boobies, but if they would call them boobies during... I would say
that's horrific. Yeah.
My boobies.
No. Definitely not.
If Gemma Chan's, we were talking about this though, the other week. If Gemma Chan, I'd say no, sorry, Gemma, that's it.
Would you?
I feel guilty about betraying Jack.
You feel
Whitehall.
So strongly.
Now it's happened. And also my own wife. Mainly it's Jack. Then, yeah. Oh, what a world, eh? Do you find people's attitude to you has changed on the circuit now that you're getting TV and film stuff? Are people still
That's what I like. No, not especially. That is what I quite like about the circuit. It's all pretty. People are pretty down to earth and not too shitty.
It's sort of amazing. It's amazing getting a big break, isn't it? I think people do feel glad when.
Well,
it
the
happens
thing is, something. I went back. I mean, like I never stopped doing the circuit. I suppose if you get a break and then you just stop, then maybe. But I never did stop, really.
No.
And it's quite a leveller doing the circuit.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter what you're doing, you still got to do the thing.
Yeah.
So, people are very supportive. There's a lovely sort of culture of, I personally think it is quite supportive. Like, everyone's really happy for Dave Johns, aren't
they? Yeah, I was just going to say.
There's just such a warmth of feeling about that. And most people were very, you know, they said well done and supportive.
I think it's with the comedy circuit, is they feel someone has to have earned the stripes to do it. So I think when people resent someone, it's often when it's... brand new.
They decide it's undeserved. Yeah.
But if someone like David Johns, who's in I, Daniel Blake.
Yeah.
So he's a stand-up. He's been going for a long time. He's 60 years old. Yeah. So he's been going for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he's now
in the new Ken Loach.
Sort of getting, yeah.
And when I walk past his poster on the tube on the way here, and it just makes you smile. You're like, hello. Yeah. It's lovely.
Oh. Well, everyone resents you on the circuit. They told me to tell you.
Well, they're not saying anything to my face. No. So I'm happily delusional. Nice. And thanks for smashing that.
I think I didn't write down all my new. Oh, do you think the film, the Tim Allen film, The Santa Claus, could ever happen in real life?
What happens in that film?
Santa Claus is on top of Tim Allen's house, and then he falls off because of something Tim Allen does and dies.
Right.
And then Tim Allen has to become Santa. Spoiler alert! Becomes their new Santa Claus.
And do I think that could happen in real life? It depends. Do I believe in Santa Claus? Is that the sort of question?
No, do you believe that Santa Claus is just a man who travels around, is mortal? But
so he's not magic?
No, and then he'll...
Well, if you're going to buy into the thing of Santa Claus, you might as well go all the way with the magic.
Okay. I mean, he's a bit magic.
Well, he can't do what he's meant to do if he's
not
magic.
He's just a man who can fall off a roof and die, and then Tim Allen can come in. Do you think it's right that, if it is possible for that to happen, do you think it's right for Santa Claus to essentially press gang Tim Allen into being?
But he's dead. How did he press game?
Well, you know, by dying and then passing on the mantle to Tim Allen.
Right.
I think it should be a voluntary role, not... I don't think it should be forced.
That is a fair point, I mean, it's got to be done for the love of it.
I mean, Tim Allen comes round to it and sort of enjoys being Santa.
You wouldn't want to be Santa under duress.
No, but I think it could be sort of Stockholm Syndrome as well. There's all the elves and stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, you're placed in that position. And I just worry for Tim Allen that he's sort of gone along with it.
Who is Tim Allen?
He's Santa Claus now. He also plays the voice of one of the...
Would I know him?
Story. He was in Home Improvements.
What's that?
Sitcom about an idiot.
Sitcom about to narrow it down.
It was a sitcom about a man who did Home Improvements. He had his own TV show where he did DIY in the sitcom.
I don't know.
And he had a next door neighbour who was just a hat. And
why don't I know this guy?
There was a pretty girl in it.
Who played her?
Don't know.
And then
he was in Toy Story. He played Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, okay, I know Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, it's him.
Do you think
Toy Story could ever happen in real life? Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you think Toy Story 2 could ever happen in real life?
Remind me what happens in that one.
I think that's the one where they go and they find the other...
Jessie's in that one, isn't she?
And there's the old man played by Kelsey Grammer.
I like that one. I don't like the one with the bear.
Yeah, that's
that
the
one's
third,
a bit
Toy Story
spooky.
3.
That's really spooky.
Do you think Toy Story 3 could ever happen in real life?
No, I don't think it could.
Which films do you think could happen in real life? That might be an easier way to come around this question.
Are you going to go along with the Santa Claus thing?
No, I don't think there's... I think... It's,
no, I mean, as a parent, are you going to tell?
Oh, I'm going to tell. Yeah, yeah.
Because some people don't approve of that.
Yeah,
like my dad used to say, it's lying.
Right.
Like, it's a crush.
It's a weird thing because, you know, I think we were did this come up, but like if they believe in it for too long, it becomes sort of embarrassing.
When's the right age?
Yeah.
I'm asking because my friend said his son still did, and his son was 12, and I was judging.
Yeah.
That's too old, isn't it?
It is too old. Yeah.
Well, he's like, is your son?
You've got to work it out. It's sweet, though, isn't it, that they would...
No, there's a line in
it. You want innocence.
There's a line between sweetness and thickness.
You want to preserve this innocence. I remember my...
Not till they're 12.
I remember my grandma and my mum saying, oh, it's a terrible... You know, I remember them talking about stuff when I was little and saying it's a terrible world, you have to protect them. I remember them saying that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were saying it about, but, you know, I can remember that.
That's
I remember
so
being aware
trauma.
There was something...
That it was a terrible
that
world.
Was
That's
being
what stayed with
away
you.
From me.
It's a terrible
world.
It's
sort of worse not to know why. It's just
it's a magical thing, Santa Claus. You've crushed it with the Tim Allen thing.
Yeah.
But
well, Tim Allen did a good job of crushing it, I would say.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus literally got crushed.
I'll be glad when it's over, when Santa Claus is done and dusted, and then I don't have to pretend anymore.
Okay.
I don't like lying. I mean, I'll do it, but it's a burden, isn't it? Because you've got to get two loads of wrapping paper.
Yes.
That's admin.
It is admin. It's kind of weird that your daughter would know about abortion before she would know about
Santa Claus. Well, that's a really fair point. That's why I wrestled with whether to let her watch Dirty Dancing. I'm like, surely I should break Santa Claus to you before abortions.
Yeah. Do you think the way out of it is just to say, oh, there's been some bad news. Santa Claus has died. I'll be doing the presents from now on.
That's a lovely way of putting it. Yeah.
He was very old.
Would you do it?
He had a good life. But now he's dead, and all the elves have also died.
That's
the elves
so
have all
reasonable.
Killed themselves in sorrow, in a sort of suicide pact. They all agreed there was no point in going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Claus is.
You're making the lie bigger. Yeah. I'd keep it simple.
Yeah. Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
I dressed my daughter up as a monster. She's got a monster costume for Halloween.
Yeah.
But that's a kind of lie as well, isn't it?
She's what, Halloween?
Yeah.
And she's not a monster?
No, she's not a monster. She liked it.
Well, you can't take all the lies away. No. Otherwise, what is childhood?
That's true. She went, argh. That's good.
Was that entertaining?
Yeah, it was good. I'll show you a video of it later. Good. Well, I've got to keep an eye. Oh, blimey, the time has flown by. You've got another gig to do. What, are you doing a charity gig?
I am.
What's the charity for you? That's very nice to do work for charity.
You brought that up, not
me,
so I get to come out of this looking okay.
You do. What's the charity?
I think it's Parkinson's.
UKIP.
Yeah, it's UKIP.
Get the immigrants out.
It's a UKIP kid.
You think it's Parkinson's. What I love about comedians I've done this loads of times. I've taken gigs and got there and discovered it's something I fundamentally disagree with.
Oh, really?
I did.
I don't disagree with Parkinson's.
Someone says, I'll come and do a gig. Oh, yeah, fine, I'll do it. And then you get
and
there.
UKIP.
And it's UKIP. And I got one and it was for homeopathy. Basically, which I'm absolutely opposed to. It was like, because they said it's for a hospital, and the hospital did lots of other things.
Did you still do the gig?
I kind of had to, because there, and you kind of think, well, people have paid.
That would be really shitty.
And it would be shitty. Yeah. I pulled out some gigs that I've realised I don't support the cause, having saying I'm
right.
going to do it.
No, that's very good to remember to check.
Yeah.
Who it's for.
That's bad, though, isn't it? It was me and Alistair Barry, and he just realised as well. And we had a discussion about whether we should stay and
still
do the gig.
Do it.
And we decided we should stay and do the gig. But then, no, I don't know. There was no way out.
Did you do any piss-takey jokes of it?
No, I think that'd be worse, isn't it? It's like when you do corporate gigs.
And then,
and take the piss out of it. Yeah. As if you're like going, yeah, no, I'll have your money, but I think you're all cunts. You can't do both. You've got to,
no, you're right.
You've got to.
There is a moral code here.
So I think if there's a danger that you're going to go on and think, I'm going to have to say what I really think to these people, then you probably...
Well, the lesson there is that you should read your emails.
If people ask you new things, you think, oh, yeah, that's done. I think the thing with charity gigs is a lot of comedians like to do them because they're big gigs.
They're nice gigs,
like big. You might do a gig with 1,000, 2,000 people.
Well, I sort of think as well, if you don't get to do any other charity work in any other form, which I don't. I tried to recently. I joined this thing called Silver Line, where I was meant to ring this old lady called Marie every Wednesday, and I was really committed to it. I did the training, and I thought, I can spare half an hour every Wednesday to call Marie. Yeah. I forgot twice on the trot. Which is really bad. And then the woman rang me and went, you're not really in, you haven't got the time. And I felt really bad. I mean, like, we had two lovely chats, me and Marie, but actually, Marie dumped me. Like, she rang the woman and went, I don't want her anymore. And it was a real learning, because I think what I learned from that is that the will is one thing, but actually whether you can do a thing is a different thing. So I think, well, if you can do gigs, I can do some charity gigs, but I can't ring Marie.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, which I feel really bad about.
It does. It says a lot about comedians.
Well, you can't. You can say, I want to do volunteering and blah, 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 but you can't always. You've got young kids and you're working and blah, 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 so you sort of do the things you can
but
do.
Bringing someone up, that's not hard, though, is it?
Well, I didn't think it was hard, but why don't you have a crack at it and let's see how...
Because I don't really... My wife's very socially conscious and does nice
So she
stuff.
Does stuff. Yeah, but that's her. That's her karma. What?
So I just think, fuck it, why bother? We're all
gonna, you don't get to have it by proxy. No, you have to do it yourself. You have to do some charity things.
I hate the disadvantaged. So, it's... and on that note, we're going to have to let you go. It's been really lovely to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming
in.
I hope you enjoyed it. Your show is called Sick or Twist, and we've got
by the time this goes out, it'll be done, won't it?
Well, I don't know. It'll be a month or so.
It'll be over.
But thanks. DVD, you're going to do it on DVD?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, do a DVD.
Okay.
Go fast and strike.
Can you lend me your projector again?
I will, but you'll have to get your own cord for it. You can, no, it was all right. It was fine. I had. It doesn't. Let's not go over it, but...
Everyone's got phones now, haven't
they? I'm going to take it off your wages, the cost.
What, the potatoes?
Actually, yeah, if you bring a few mash... If you could mash them for me and bring them in.
As an apology.
Yeah, that would be nice. And make them nice and cold and milky. No? Okay. Watch Hard to Swallow. Watch Kerry's DVD. Watch her in Mascots and all the other... You've got loads of stuff coming up, right? There's tons of stuff. You're going to be in another sitcom.
There's a sitcom in January on Sky One, yeah.
Limey.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and to doing the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Kerry Godman. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Kerry Godman. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, to everyone at Go Faster Strike, and everyone at the British Comedy Guide. Thanks for your help. You've been quite good. It's produced by Ben Walker. Not here while I'm doing the credits. I can say what I like about him. He's a nice guy, actually. George is doing the sound. He's all right as well. Don't listen to the rumours about him. It is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster the Stripe production for the internet. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed these, there's still a few left. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com and you can buy tickets to see whoever is in the last few. Also, you can get tickets to As It Occurs to Me at www.leicestersquaretheatre.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.